Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. On Saturday, November 30th, after years of delays, the Albuquerque Rapid Transit Service officially began running buses along Central Avenue. So what does this mean for passengers and drivers? How will this transit service impact life on Central Avenue and in the rest of the city? We'll be talking about the art project today, as well as public transportation in New Mexico in general. And we want to hear from you. How will art affect your commute? Do you live in one of the neighborhoods impacted by art's long dormancy? What kind of difference will the working line make in your community? Or do you live outside the area served by art and want to see public transit expansion there? Give us a call at 277-5866. Email us your questions and comments at letstalk@kunm.org or tweet using the hashtag letstalknm. Joining me in the studio today is Danny Holcomb, the transit director for the city of Albuquerque. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Ty.
Thank you for being with us today. So buses started running on Saturday of this past week. How many are on the streets currently?
We're putting 17 buses out at Monday through Friday.
And what is the hoped for total eventually going to be?
It's always going to be 17. We don't have any plans to increase that.
And what is the ridership looking like at this point?
Initial numbers, preliminary numbers are pretty high, a lot higher than they were on the Rapid Ride. We don't have official numbers to release yet. As soon as we get them, as soon as we know they're official and we've gotten all of our data together, we'll release those numbers to the public. Okay.
Now, these are not the electric buses that were originally slated for the art project, but rather a clean diesel bus. Could you explain to me what clean diesel means?
Well, it's just it's an engine that's going to produce fewer emissions and run a lot cleaner than the typical diesel buses that we have in most of our operations. So it's just a cleaner vehicle. Obviously, isn't CNG, isn't diesel, isn't electric, but it's a better alternative than what we have had in the past.
Can you give me an idea of kind of what sort of reduction in emissions clean diesel?
I had those numbers, but I don't. I apologize.
No problem. Now, are there any plans to switch to electric buses at a later point?
We are hoping to try and get some electric buses in 2020. From what I was told, and I apologize because I haven't been here a real long time, that the part of the problem with the electric buses that we were trying to get is the technology wasn't there to keep the bus on the corridor for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that that technology develops and evolves and we have a little more flexibility to put those buses out on Central or on a route that's going to be out all day.
Now, what do passengers need to know about the ART system as it stands now?
Well, it's they're on a raised platform going up and down Central. We have hawk signals to allow people to cross half the street essentially to get to the ART platforms.
Now, hawk signals, what does that stand for?
It's hand
activated,
something like that. Well, yeah. So anyway, we have these signals allow people to get across the street to get to the platforms and get on the ART bus. The ART buses are all ADA accessible. Obviously, we have bike racks on the buses that are actually inside the bus rather than in the front of the bus.
Okay. What about any safety considerations for passengers or pedestrians along the ART route?
As far as what?
Well, as far as where to cross the street, is it only at those hawk signals or
They can cross at any intersection, but the hawk signals go directly to the platforms.
Okay. And what about drivers? Obviously, there are some safety issues with drivers having gotten used to using the ART lane for left turns and the like over the past few years. How is the city addressing that issue?
The city has, we've asked Albuquerque Police Department to get out in the corridor as much as they can, and they're, for the next month at least, they're issuing warnings to people that are making illegal turns or getting into those lanes, and they're just giving warnings. Citations will come in January, and I hate to say it, but I think there may be quite a few citations. I drive up and down the corridor, and I see a lot of people doing things that they shouldn't be doing, so okay. There could be a lot of tickets coming.
Do you have an impression that drivers are going to be adapting quickly, or is this just going to be a long process of learning?
I would hope they adapt quickly. Based on what I've seen in the first few days, I don't. It may take a while. I was on the corridor yesterday, and probably in a span of, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, I saw 6 to 7 vehicles were making illegal turns on the corridor.
Okay.
And
And what about, I know that people had been using them as a sort of a de facto bus lane, I mean, sorry, bike lane. Are you still seeing that, or have they?
Not so much a bike lane. We did a press release that went out last week to try and warn businesses that were using them as a delivery drop-off zone to pretty much cease and desist as buses are coming.
Okay. And so obviously the Keller administration is not the administration that began this project, but rather inherited it. Do you feel that it's looking like a success, even though it wasn't a project that Keller planned for?
I think we're going to make it as successful as we can. Obviously, Mayor Keller didn't plan the project, didn't build the project, but we're going to make it run as well as we can. Like I said earlier, I've only been here for a short time, and I didn't plan it, build it, or design it, but I'm going to make sure that I do whatever I can to make it run as efficiently as possible and safely as possible.
Okay, it looks like we have a call from Mike in Nob Hill, who has a question about crosswalks. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I've watched this whole art project unfold. I understand the gentleman is not responsible for the design, but we are left with a design that I believe is inherently unsafe. It's done major damage to the community, and is essentially ill-conceived from the very get-go. It should have never been done. Those little islands in the middle of the road are incredibly dangerous. People are going to be falling off. People are going to be pushed off. Skateboarders are going to be coming sailing off of there. I just think that people are going to get killed because of this.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike. What is your what are your thoughts on Mike's comments, Danny?
I think it's just going to take a long time for people to get used to it. It's a brand new system. It's a system that is in place in other cities, and in some of the other cities, it's from what I understand, it's taken them a while as well. I understand the concerns, and like I said, we're going to do everything that we can to try and make it as safe and reliable and usable as we possibly can.
Now, at this point, I understand that ridership is free. How long will that last?
It'll be free until the end of the month. January 1st, we start charging.
And what will the price be for that?
The same as it was on the Rapid Ride. We didn't increase any fares. It's a dollar a trip, or they can buy a one-day pass. It's $2, and they get them all around the city.
Okay. So we are taking your calls and comments today. Have you ridden the ART buses yet? What was the experience like? We'd love to hear from you. Call us at 277-5866 or email us at letstalk@kunm.org or tweet to us using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. It looks like we have an email comment from Kenneth. He says the ART project is a waste of public money and did not improve transportation, but cut down car lanes instead. What is your response to Kenneth, Danny?
Well, we had Rapid Ride running, and this is just replacing Rapid Ride. So I think in time, people will get used to it. I think people will enjoy it. The comments that I've seen from the people that have ridden the bus, they've all been positive. I haven't seen or heard a single complaint about anyone that's actually been on the bus. I know there are naysayers. There are always going to be naysayers, and I understand that. But we're going to do what we can and make it run as safe and as efficient as we can. That's our goal.
And I also have an email comment from David. He says that he would like to see buses running on Manal earlier on Saturdays. I think he brings up a good point, which is that all the attention right now is on the ART project. Are there any plans for expanding transit service in the rest of the city or changing bus routes?
A lot of it's going to come down to budget, whatever our budget is. We're going to try and do what we can to stay within the constraints of the budget. And if we can increase service in other parts of the city or on other routes, we're certainly going to look at those options.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome the next guest, Jessica Dyer. She is a reporter with the Albuquerque Journal who has covered the ART project. Good morning, Jessica. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning.
So you've been reporting on ART for a little while, and it's obviously been quite a saga. Could we look back to the beginning of the project with you? I believe it was in spring of 2014 that the project was officially announced, with service expected to begin at that point in 2017. What happened?
Gosh, a lot happened, I think, along the way. There were a few legal challenges, some holdups, obviously, with the buses. There was the rejection of all of the buses that the city had ordered from the BYD Motors Company, a change in administrations. There were just a lot of things that happened along the way.
And I, as you mentioned, one of the big problems was with the electric buses themselves. What went wrong there?
Well, they first started arriving, I think, in 2017? And I think as they started testing them, they realized that there were issues with the brakes, there were issues with the charging. I think that was a huge part of it. They were not going as long as they were supposed to go. And the Keller administration ultimately sued BYD over what they said were flaws and problems with the buses. And that caused a longer delay. They rejected the buses. They ordered some new buses. So they didn't actually get the buses that they're using now until starting this summer.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of kind of lawsuits, what was the nature of the lawsuits?
Oh, the lawsuits from the opponents?
Mm-hmm.
I think there were concerns about the effect on businesses in the community. I think the city had applied for and received some sort of exemption for an environmental review of the project to see how it would affect other parts of the city. It survived those two.
Okay. And going back to you, Danny, transit director for Albuquerque, what else has changed besides the buses from the original vision of the art project?
To be honest with you, I wasn't here when the original vision came out, so I can't comment on that. But basically what I've seen in my short time is, you know, the platforms are what they are. They're a risen platform. Our buses were designed to accommodate the higher level of boarding. That's basically about it.
Now, I know one of the original plans was to have an art line going to the airport. Is that correct?
We've talked about a possible BRT line, not
okay.
Art line. There's a difference.
All right. What is the difference?
Bus rapid transit, but basically a rapid ride.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have probably signal priority, but they'd have curbside stops just like the rapid ride did.
Okay, not the raised platforms.
Correct.
Like the art project. Okay. Is that still in the works at this point?
It's we're talking about it. We're trying to submit for some funding for that. If it is in the works, you're probably looking 3, 4, or 5 years away.
Now, I know that there has been some talk about the funding for the art project. Some people feel that it could have been better spent in other aspects of the transit line. Can you talk a little bit about where the money came from and kind of the stipulations on how it's used?
Yeah, so the money, it was $133 million in total. About $106 million was from the federal grants, and the city was able to come up with $27 million, and it's specifically used for art development, the platforms, the structures, the safety corridor, safety issues that things that we have on the corridor, the pin curbs, things along those lines.
Okay, and we have a question from Kathy in Albuquerque. Good morning, Kathy. What is your question or comment?
Hi there. I'm an avid proponent of mass transit, and I live in the Northeast Heights. I went to the Albuquerque Transfer Center at the Uptown Boulevard to see how I could catch an art bus from that area and then go down Central, because I really don't want to wait on Central and Wyoming. It's not the best part of town to wait as a single woman. And I saw an art bus there at the Uptown Transfer Center. So I'm wondering if you can catch art up there.
Danny?
Absolutely.
So you can actually catch the art bus at the Transfer Center?
At the Uptown Transit Center, yes.
Okay.
It is one of our stops.
So are
it's our 766 route.
That's okay. So it's on the 766 mm-hmm. route. Okay, I understand that. So where exactly? How long is the art route? Where is its terminus in both directions?
It starts on the west side at the Central and Unser Transfer Center. Runs all the way up to Central Wyoming and Tramway on the Route 777, and then the Route 766 goes from Louisiana and Central. It goes from the CUTC to Louisiana and Central, then turns north going to the Uptown Transit Center.
Okay, this is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Ty Bannerman. We are talking about public transportation and Albuquerque's new rapid transit line. We'd like to hear from you. How do you think your city or town could improve its public transportation? Call us at 277-5866 and tell us about it. We are going to take a quick break.
Support comes from Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm, whose criminal practice can help clients petition state courts to permanently remove public records related to criminal charges and certain convictions, beginning January 1st, 2020. RothsteinLaw.com.
Marble Brewery supports KUNM. Since 2008, Marble Brewery is devoted to brewing premium craft beer while building and supporting community with three tap rooms around Albuquerque. More information at marblebrewery.com.
So 2016 was the hottest year on record so far. It has also marked a historic Indigenous-led protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline at Standing Rock. But Indigenous resistance didn't begin or end there. What did begin there was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's successful bid for Congress.
This edition of AR features Nick Estes on Indigenous Peoples Resistance.
That's Alternative Radio, Saturday night at 6 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. We are talking about the art project and public transportation in general today. I have a call on the line from Tibrina in Albuquerque. Tibrina has a question or a comment for us?
Yeah, I do. I'm a user of public transportation. I partially cited, I need buses to get around, but I support boycotting art, and this is why. It has destroyed the Central Corridor. I know so many business owners whose businesses have been demolished, who have lost their businesses, and I have seen how it has affected our neighborhoods over the last few years. I have not even wanted to go and wait for a bus on Sundays because it is so desolate on Central. Nobody wants to be out there except for people that I really don't want to have to deal with on Central. I have seen people move out of the neighborhoods. People don't want to come to the neighborhoods. And businesses are still struggling that have been here for years and years and years. Even places like the 66 Diner is still struggling after what art has done to our city. I believe in public transportation. I grew up in New York City. Public transportation has been a part of my life. But this has not helped us, and I don't see it helping us. We need buses that go north and south. That is what we were told by experts that came in from other parts of the country for years before art was started. And yet it was still pushed through by our previous mayor, who basically forced this upon us. And I look at what Central was, and I look at what Central is now, and it is very sad.
Okay, thank you, Tibrina. Let's focus on the impact on businesses along the art corridor. Danny, obviously there has been a lot of talk about it, especially during the construction period. What are you hearing from business owners at this point?
Saturday I was at Knob Hill Bar and Grill. We stopped for dinner after riding the bus, and the owner of Knob Hill Bar and Grill was ecstatic. He said the number of people that have been coming into his restaurant had increased. He was very excited. He was optimistic. He had seen a lot of people on the platform, and he was looking forward to what was going to happen with art. I'm sure there are going to be some businesses that aren't going to feel that same impact, but I think from what we've heard initially, the majority of the businesses are appreciative of it, at least at this point.
Is it possible to say that how many businesses were, you know, shut down during that construction period?
No, honestly, I couldn't. Okay. I have no idea.
All right. Well, let's. I want to go back to Jessica Dyer, who is a staff reporter with the Albuquerque Journal. What is your reporting telling you about how businesses are viewing the art project?
Well, I had a chance to speak to the owner of the Frontier about 2 weeks ago, not since the line has already started operation, but just prior to that. And he said he was still not, I guess, recovered from the impact of it. And he also didn't think that it was going to help much. He had been a huge supporter of Rapid Ride when it started in the same corridor. And he said he thought that would kind of boost business. They got a stop right outside their restaurant. And he said they never really saw any impact from it or any positive impact from it.
Okay, so kind of a mix of maybe some cautious optimism and some trepidation. I have a call from Diana in Albuquerque. Good morning, Diana. Do you have a question or comment for us?
Yes, my concern is that there are several intersections where the signs above the lanes telling you what lane is for what don't line up well with the lanes. And so it makes it very scary to go through them. And if you're somebody that is in the city and drives a lot and can maybe get used to it, that's one thing. But if it's scary for me, I can't imagine what it's like for people who haven't been on the street before. And so I'm wondered if there's any awareness of that, or you're thinking of what you might do to improve the lineup of the signs explaining what lane is for what.
Danny?
I think it's just an education thing that we need to do to try and make sure people are aware of exactly what's going on. I drive up and down Central, and myself, I almost got into the wrong lane as I was making a left-hand turn going east on Central, and it's just a matter of being aware of the signage and trying to understand exactly where you need to go.
Okay, and then I also have Tabor in Albuquerque. Good morning, Tabor.
Yes, good morning.
What is your question or comment?
Yes. Well, I grew up in Albuquerque since the 60s and seen a Central change. I think the project is fantastic. Central really needed a facelift. And, you know, I was in Seattle for 20 years. It's a whole different transportation system there. Fantastic. So I think Albuquerque is moving in the right direction with this project. So.
Okay, well, thank you, Tamer. Okay, I'd like to go ahead and welcome Steve Schroeder, who is the owner of Knob Hill Music, a Central Avenue business that is dealing with art on a daily basis. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Now, you have been one of the more vocal critics of the art project from the beginning. Now that the buses are actually running, has your opinion changed?
I can't say that I've noticed a change. It just seems that the pattern, addressing the previous commenter about the economic impact, we kept track of some of it, and we've lost around 70-some businesses on the 8-mile stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's now around 85 where they've closed, relocated, or sold their businesses. So our business has been impacted by it. And you can also feel the impact by people who I've spoken with that have come into the store and mentioned that the GPS systems on their phones for driving around keeps them off of Central because of the traffic problems.
Right.
So there is an impact, and it's hard to evaluate it until there's going to be more information, how the ridership goes, how the economic impact plays out for the rest of us. So the future is still coming.
Now, you, as I said, have been vocally kind of against the art project for some time. Can you tell me what was it about the art project that you found issues with in its original implementation and then how it kind of progressed?
I would say that when it first came out, or I first noticed anything about it, it was in the newspaper, and I thought it was an idea that was being floated.
This was back in 2014 or so?
Yes.
Okay.
But what I saw and what I felt from an immediate impact was something my father had told me 50 years ago, that we need to save, honor, and preserve our history and our culture. And the description of what the art project was going to be did not fit this historic Route 66 in our city. And when you take something away from a city, a piece of its soul, a piece of its character, that feeling It is. It's a feeling of how you feel about your city, how you feel about what you're going to do in your city is impacted. And I felt it immediately and felt that we should do something to try to stop it. And when we started realizing we couldn't stop it, those people that were really interested in the city came forward to the city and offered to help try to fix the plan, since things were already moving.
Mm-hmm.
Could we do something? And we volunteered to do it for free. And we were not allowed to be involved. So
you felt that you were cut out from the process at that point.
Yes.
I want to go to Danny real quick to address the question of kind of historical preservation, which I feel like your comment touched on with Route 66. That's obviously a big part of Albuquerque's history. Is the city taking any steps to kind of preserve the historic character of Route 66 in conjunction with the art project?
Yeah, I think they are. And I think, and I understand where Steve is coming from. I was born and raised in Albuquerque. I've seen Central look really, really bad. Businesses have closed down before art even started. I've seen it look relatively good, and I think the excitement of where it's going to be in 5, maybe 10 years, maybe even less than that, I think is exciting to me. Mm-hmm. I have a 23-year-old daughter, and she is ecstatic about this art service. She's ecstatic that she and her demographic are able to visit businesses. They can, you know, go up and down the art corridor in safe buses, on safe platforms, where we have security officers, we have cameras out there. And I think she is excited about the future of where Central is going to be, and art is a big part of that.
Okay. And Steve, I want to go back to you. And so obviously, like you, there were issues with how you felt the city progressed on the art project at its beginning. How do you think the city should do things differently in the future when considering a project of this magnitude?
Well, in the 80s, I was a member of the Coalition of Albuquerque Neighborhoods, and I was directed at their behalf to submit to the comprehensive plan a policy that if you're going to do something, the city's going to do something, there should be a mechanism, i.e. all neighborhoods should be notified of what this plan is. So for the future, notification is more critical than any part, so that we know what's going on. The art project, there was no notification in writing, in signage, by phone, by internet. None of that happened. So when I walked from Louisiana to Coors and talking to all these businesses, the first time they heard of this art project was from me. And so we had no time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
We did not get notification. So for the future, I think notification is really critical, so that people who have knowledge, business acumen, economic thinking, business planning can be involved in the process, so that they can feel like maybe we could add some information that the city doesn't have. We could talk about the impact that we might feel from this. So I think it's really critical that ongoing and in the future, that this kind of, and as I understand, when I was on the Comprehensive Plan Review Committee, and we put this into the Comprehensive Plan, the thinking was that this was going to be the process that was going to be used. When they changed the zoning, I believe that was the first thing they took out of the Comprehensive Plan.
I see. So it seems like maybe that particular lesson hasn't been learned as well. If people are concerned with the impact of art on businesses, I mean, obviously they could support the businesses by, you know, shopping and so forth along Nob Hill. Is there anything else that they can do to kind of support the businesses that might be affected negatively by art?
Well, my suggestion would be to don't vote for any city councilor that supported the art project.
So take it to the ballot box.
Yes, I think that would be at least one place to begin the process.
Okay, and I have a call from Don in Albuquerque. Good morning, Don. Don, what is your question or comment this morning?
Well, I spoke out publicly repeatedly against art, but it's here. And it's free now, and I'm writing it. 2 points. One, it must be a real challenge for the art drivers, the bus drivers, because part of the route, there are two designated art lanes. Part of the route, there's only one designated art lane for east and west. Buses, and part of the route, there are no designated art lanes. I am pure glad I'm not an art bus driver. And secondly, I don't understand how in January the bus fares will really be collected and enforced. Given the changes, I'll.
Do you mean the citations?
No.
The bus fares themselves.
Fares.
Okay.
It'll be quite a merry-go-round, I think, for a while. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Don. Jessica, do you have an impression of how fares will be collected starting in January? I noticed there are those machines on the art bus platforms. Are those for fare collection?
I believe so. I think that the mayor, at the most, when he announced the date of the start of service, I think he said it would be similar to the rail runner, sort of a bit of an honor system. You buy the tickets ahead of time, but I'm not sure if they're having people go and check to see if you've bought a ticket.
Okay, and certainly at this point it is free, so
right.
We'll have to find out how that gets addressed later, I guess. I have an email comment from Tim. He says that he recognizes the impact of art on businesses, but he feels that Albuquerque benefits from the project, especially as the city continues to grow and the environment becomes more important. Stephen, I want to go back to you and ask... We have a Twitter comment from Laura. She says that during construction, people got out of the habit of going to places along the art route, and now the streets are empty in Nob Hill. Are you finding that to be the case, that streets are empty in the area around your business?
Well, I would say that when the sidewalks were wider, we had a lot more customers. Now that the sidewalks are narrower, we have a lot less customers. But I think... the traffic lights, the traffic problems are keeping people away from Central. Mm-hmm. And it is obvious that the customer traffic is less in Nob Hill.
So you are definitely seeing an impact there.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we are going to be taking a break. You are listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. We are discussing the art project and public transportation in general. Tweet to us using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM or email letstalk@kunm.org, and we will be back in a moment.
Native midwives are helping mothers reconnect with traditional birthing practices. We'll talk with one Anishinaabe woman who is training a new generation of Native midwives to assist with the birthing process. We'll also hear about what midwives can offer. That's on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
KUNM accepts cars from anywhere. If you happen to live in a small mountain town or on the mesas of New Mexico, we'll send a tow truck to your home, no matter where you live. In fact, we accept vehicles running or not from anywhere in the United States. We'll send you a thank you letter and a KUNM membership, plus you'll get a tax deduction. It's easy. Just call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. We are taking your calls regarding public transportation. Do you primarily take public transportation around your town? What problems have you encountered? Or are you someone who would like to take transit more often but can't because of scheduling or lack of routes? Call us at 277-5866 or tweet to us using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. Now, also joining us today is Christopher Ramirez, the executive director of Together for Brothers, an organization that helps young men of color gain leadership skills and make a positive impact in their community. We also have Omar Torres and Baruch Campos on the phone. Omar and Baruch are two of the young people that are active with Together for Brothers. Good morning. Hi, Christopher. One of Together for Brothers campaigns is to get the city to issue a free universal transit pass to all youth in Albuquerque. Why is a free bus pass important to improving conditions for young men of color?
For sure. Thanks for having us on the show this morning.
Sure.
In 2017, Together for Brothers was awarded funds from the Santa Fe Community Foundation and New Mexico Health Equity Partnership to complete a health impact assessment, or HIA, to look at the connection between transit and health. And one of the things we found is that there are four social determinants: access to education, meaning being able to go to school and be on time and how that impacts graduation rates, employment, finding and keeping a job, recreation, being able to participate in recreational activities in the community, and the fourth social determinant around promoting healthy habits, which meant young people exercising more and also eating healthier in their community. Part of that HIA is that young men of color who are most impacted, and we learned very quickly that two neighborhoods in the city, the Westgate neighborhood, 87121 west of Coors on the Central Corridor, and the International District, 87108, that is right the southeast heights or southeast part of Albuquerque, are the communities most impacted because they have the highest concentration of transit-dependent households, right? Census and other data tells us households that have no cars or maybe one car for a large number of people in a house where folks are really dependent on public transportation. And what's really important about the research we found is it's that all of those social determinants would be impacted if young people had that free bus pass, which we have recently found out is the case in Los Alamos and in Santa Fe, as well as other communities that we were looking at in the Southwest and across the country. I do want to say that one of the things I think is important is we learned in the process that people who are transit dependent in these neighborhoods are less likely to be at the table making decisions. And so the two words that I want to kind of make sure that the listeners and others get to hear is we started understanding transit equity, that the people most impacted, that means transit dependent people who are dependent on right now the Rapid Ride or being able to access the Central Corridor, which is the highest used corridor for public transportation in the city, that they should be at the table. And I'll make a quick story about – I remember being at one of the ART planning meetings where I had to take the bus to get there, and I went to a very – it was, I think, 100 people at the school, and I was the only person that after the meeting got – on the bus to go home. Everybody else got in cars. So I also want to agree with Steve to some extent is that we live in a city that needs to learn how to do input and outreach to people most impacted in a very different way, because there were dozens of meetings held in the community, but I rarely saw people who use public transit like myself in those meetings. The other thing is that we know that the routes and frequency of the buses, particularly in Westgate and the International District, do not reflect that those are literally where the most potential riders live, because it's where the most transit-dependent people live. So we want to see, similar to a caller said earlier, we want to see those north-south corridors expanded, especially one of the things that we found is young people talked about bus routes that are only every hour make it really difficult to get to school or work on time. If you miss a bus and have to wait for an hour, your employer, your school is not going to be okay with you being an hour late to school or work or to soccer practice, right, for that matter. So it's that the art is a step in the right direction. It definitely, right, and Jessica made allusions to this, the process was really, you know, one that we could critique. Steve has mentioned that too, and I think, but moving forward, it's a step in the right direction because it's about investing in the routes and frequency of service for people who most need the bus.
Okay, and I want to go ahead and go to Baruch Campos, who's on the line with us. Good morning, Baruch.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. Now, Baruch, you live in Albuquerque's International District, is that correct?
That's correct. I've lived there for 11 years.
And do you use public transportation on a regular basis?
Not at the moment. As I grew up, I was very transit dependent.
Okay, so going to and from school, that sort of thing?
Correct. I lived in a household with my mom, who worked a full-time job, a brother who worked a full-time job. So it was really mostly on me to navigate myself to and from school. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking for a job, as I did also have to navigate myself to and from work.
And have you used the art project at this point?
Not at this point. I am planning on using it soon this month. I do know a lot of the young people that we work with at Together for Brothers. A couple of them have already rode the bus and given me some feedback.
Now, what kind of feedback are you hearing?
Well, the one that I heard recently was from the young person is Caleb Haswood, who he skateboards to and from school. He goes to NACA Inspired Schools at CNM. And so he actually uses the art bus now at a regular to get to and from school. He also lives in the International District in the ID and 18108. And so he's been taking the art bus to school. He talked about how it's very efficient. Obviously, it's free at the moment. So he is able to use the art bus at a regular basis. And he talked about it being really easy and accessible for him to get to and from school at a lot quicker pace.
Now, are you currently driving?
I am currently driving.
Okay. So do you think that the art project, as it kind of comes into its own here, is that going to make a difference in how you get around the city?
I have not experienced any difficulties navigating the city as of recent. I would say no.
Okay, and can you tell me what kind of impact a universal bus pass would have on either you now or prior when you were using the bus to kind of navigate?
For sure. As I mentioned, when I was younger, living in the International District, it was difficult getting rides, right? My family did not have working full-time jobs. They did not have the time or the capacity to give me rides to school. I'm thinking back to when I turned 18 and I was looking for a job. And I quickly realized how difficult it was to find a job near my neighborhood. And I had to start looking in the outskirts of my neighborhood and realized that it came with a lot of challenges, right? A lot of the times when I got interviewed, I would be asked, do you have reliable transportation? And that was always a difficult question for me because I know that even though you would think, you know, a couple cents a day isn't much for the bus, as a young person who, A, did not have a job, and B, my priorities, my family's priorities were different than mine, right? Is I didn't have that access to transportation as my peers. And so it was always a difficult question. So a free bus pass for me would have definitely made a big impact. And I can tell you, as soon as I started CNM, I got the free bus pass, and that really impacted. I was able to get a job shortly after that. because I didn't have that worry and that stress of having to find change every morning, have a dollar on me every morning. And so with that free bus pass, I actually got to get a job downtown, and I was able to navigate myself from the International District to downtown to, at the time, to Conos, where I used to work, and get to and from work every day. And so I thinking about that specific story, I know that a lot of young people are in the same, in the International District, are in the same, boat, where a free universal bus pass would really impact the economical health of our young people who are, like myself, sometimes living in those economical disparities, right, where we're focused on whether we're going to have food on the table, whether we're going to have a roof over our head, whether we're going to help mom with rent this month. And so that's just kind of my story.
Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Baruch. Now I'd also like to go to Omar Torres, who is also joining us by phone. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Which part of town do you live in?
I live in the Westgate area of town.
So kind of the
98th.
The other end of art. What is your feeling about the art project?
My feeling is that since we're here now, right, even though all the commotion at the beginning was like, well, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? All I'm thinking is if we're here now, it means that we've made a commitment to invest in public transportation, right? That's the sign that I see. And so I'm thinking that if that's the message, then we really got to go all in and make sure that we invest in routes to meet the needs of those who don't have direct access to the art right now, right? Like where I live, as a young person growing up being transit dependent, the one bus that I have is the 198, right? I also have 64, but they take a long time, right, if I needed to go downtown or if I needed to go across town. And so what I'm thinking is if now we're saying the art is the way, then that means we got to make the other routes that connect to art, you know, just consistent so that I could depend on them. And that would totally change how I do transportation in the city if I know that I can get my 198 every 15 minutes and then get to the art, and then the art is quick. So that's how I'm feeling, right? If the message is we're investing in public transportation, then let's really invest in public transportation and make it accessible for those who need it the most.
So that's...
Can I interrupt and ask?
Certainly.
Omar, can you tell Ty and the listeners, how often does 198 and the 54, which are the two major routes in Westgate, how often do they run right now?
So the 198 right now is at best about every 45 minutes if we're lucky. It seems to be about an hour every time. And then the 54, I think it's a little more frequent, but still about 30 to 45 minutes. And because the 54 stops in a lot of places, just because of the way the route is made, it takes a long time to get from here to downtown, let's say. Long times.
Okay, it looks like I have a call from John in Albuquerque. Good morning, John. What is your comment this morning? Are you there, John? Oh, we lost John. Okay. Well, Christopher, going back to you, thinking beyond the art project, which I think Omar was kind of touching on there, what do you think that the city's next steps in improving public transit infrastructure should be?
For sure. So we recently, I don't have to guess, because recently we hosted a transit equity town hall focused on young people. And one of the things that we learned, or many of the things we learned, are things that we had already heard, but it was good to relearn what people who are bus dependent are talking about, and that is the safety of bus stops, especially bus stops in the International District in Westgate, making sure that we actually have lighting, benches, shelters that make it safe for those bus stops, and also that we figure out how to make sure that people waiting at bus stops feel safe. That's really important. One of the things that we've heard from, as an example, from a refugee community, is for a lot of girls and women who are Muslim presenting, they've experienced a lot of harassment at bus stops and in buses. And we want our bus system to be safe for all those in Albuquerque, and especially Muslim women and girls, so that what I've heard from a lot of people is that they just don't ride the bus anymore. And I don't think that's a very good solution to making our bus system safer. And the other thing is that that investment in routes and frequency along the corridor where there's connections. Omar talked about that in Westgate. That's true in the International District as well. That would go a long way. But the other piece is around engagement and that the people who are most impacted, right? That's the other word I want to give, transit sovereignty. Transit sovereignty says the people most impacted should be able to have this control over the decisions about their transit decisions, but also be at the transit decision-making table. Mm-hmm. And that should be true of businesses. That should be true of other transit riders who opt into transit rather than, right, that have a car or two at home but are using public transportation because, as one caller pointed out, we live in a city where we've got to start thinking about the environmental impact, right? So I'm looking forward to the day that our buses are all electric and that we think of the environmental impact and how, you know, one of the things about writing art right now is it's one way that someone in Albuquerque can make a difference around CO2. I also want to, can I say one thing? I lived in Mexico City in 2005 when they introduced the first bus rapid transit system in that community. Clearly a very different place than Albuquerque, mm-hmm. right? But currently, it's been so successful in the past 14 years, there are now 7 different BRT lanes in Mexico City. And I think I read recently that there's 250,000 people that depend on just the Metro bus every day. So we know that in places it can work. I think it's going to be a process and transition, but we need to continue to invest in public transportation and also engage people who are transit dependent in that process.
Now, Christopher, have you ridden the Art Project buses yet?
I haven't been able to ride Art yet, but I'm going to literally leave the studio and take Art downtown
for the very first time.
So we'll see how it goes.
Do you feel like this is going to have an overall positive impact on the educational and employment opportunities for youth?
We know from the HIA that young people told us if they had better access to transit, that they are more likely to go to school, they will have less classroom behavioral issues, they were more likely to graduate. Like Baruch said, more likely to find and keep a job, more likely to participate in recreational activities. You know, one of the things we also discovered in the HIA is that young people that live in the poorest neighborhoods, because it's not a coincidence, right? The most transit-dependent neighborhoods, Westgate and the International District, have the highest concentrations of households that live in poverty, have also the highest concentrations of people of color households, but have the less parks. Right, have less right. access to things like there's not a skate park in the International District. So Bruce mentioned Caleb. Caleb actually has to go to Los Altos across the highway in order to, you know, skate safely in a skate park. And so we're hoping that how do we make sure that someone like Caleb can get, you know, more safely to recreational opportunities. And the last one is eating healthy. It's not one of the original questions that we had in our original community-based research, but we found young people talking about transportation allows them to get access to healthier foods, especially that live in neighborhoods that are food deserts or mm-hmm. who live in neighborhoods where fast food and unhealthy food is predominant rather than, right, being able to do things like get to the downtown growers market, right? Mm-hmm. I live in the International District. We don't have a growers market. It's one of the largest parts of the city without a growers market. So how do we make sure that fresh food, local organic food is available to all of our families, and better transportation is one of those things that could make that happen.
Okay. And Stephen, did you have a comment?
Yes, I think it's very important about this discussion of who it helps and the necessity for these free bus passes. But also, I think it's also important to help the businesses and an impact on the businesses in Nob Hill. They took all the garbage cans when they started the construction, and we've been asking for them to bring the garbage cans back because we don't want the area to look bad, and there are more garbage cans in downtown than in Nob Hill and Old Town combined.
Okay.
And so helping the businesses as well would be important.
Okay, thank you, Steve. That is all the time that we have today. Thanks to everyone who called in to share your thoughts. Thanks so much to our guests. Let's keep this conversation going. Share your thoughts on Twitter, hashtag Let's Talk NM. On Facebook, search for KUNM Radio or email letstalk@KUNM.org. If you missed part of the show, you can stream it online or subscribe to our podcast, which you can find wherever you find your favorite podcasts. I'm Ty Bannerman. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Taylor Velasquez screened your calls. Bryce Dix live tweeted the show today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.